Hi everyone, my name is Tyler Oakley, and you are listening to Psychobabble, an unfiltered half hour of gossip sessions, pop culture scrutiny, and stories we've never told in videos. It's not just crazy talk, it's Psychobabble. In today's episode, we discuss Taylor Swift's new era and single, the worst tattoos we've spotted mid-hookup, Corey admits his most controversial musical theater opinions, and we recap episode 3 of Amazing Race in Vietnam. Stick around, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, follow on Spotify, and live tweet as you listen with hashtag Psychobabble. Hi, Corey.
Hello, Tyler.
Hi, how are you?
Take two. You know what they say.
What? The second take is always better?
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night.
We just tried to record the podcast, and we were 28 minutes in, and Corey realized his whole thing wasn't working.
Bitch, don't lie, and don't bring my hole into this.
Okay.
We were 20 seconds in, and I had tripped a cord, and there goes that audio, so you'll never hear what we had to say about Kias.
Tripped a cord? I feel like that's, is that a drug? Is that a...
The active ingredient in turkey?
Well,
you know my dad's a butcher.
I know, I thought you were going to go to Turk and Caicos.
Turkeys and... Gravios.
Well, you know what? We really logged in mentally for this one. We got to Turk in Gravy Coast.
We did. We really started to jerk in the Turkin.
I'm going to let you come out of that.
Daddy wouldn't lie to baby.
No, is that what you're, is that your safety? Is that your safe, Daddy, like, get out of anything? Anyway.
Daddy would not lie to baby.
What were we talking about before your podcast recording equipment stopped working? Something about something.
You were telling me a story about Dude, Where's My Car?
Oh,
have you ever seen that movie?
I have. I haven't seen it in years. I would imagine that it hasn't aged well. I would imagine there's a lot of racist jokes and probably
homophobic
jokes. And
yeah, I'm sure.
I vaguely remember there was like a gag about like an Asian accent. I feel like they would have done that. I feel like there were a lot of like homoerotic, you know.
Like man on man, will they kiss, will they not kiss?
Sure.
Now, is Dude, Where's My Car, Ashton Kutcher and Sean... William Scott?
Yes.
God, I had a crush on Sean William Scott. Is that, why do I feel like that's not his name?
Sean, that's his, something like that. It's a three-name name. I do remember that. He was...
He could get it.
He was like hot, but also like...
dumb?
Yeah, but...
Was he dumb, or did he just play dumb on TV?
I think he was just playing dumb. But what I'm saying is he was like kind of like an interesting kind of hot, and that's a nice way to put it.
An interesting kind of hot?
Well,
Is it because he has two N's in the last name, Sean?
No.
Sean.
No.
Maybe his family just loved the double letter, like two N's in Sean, two L's in William, two T's in Scott.
I feel like three name names really had a moment.
Listen, bitch, I know that Sean William Scott had, like, a little, like, broken heart tattoo on his, like, V-lines.
Was that something for you?
Bitch. Yeah, he was on the fucking cover of some People magazine at, like, Meijer growing up, and I thought, how do I steal that magazine?
Well, I remember growing up and seeing somebody, I can't remember who, but somebody had stars on their, on both sides of their, like...
Was it Pamela Anderson Lee?
No, maybe another three-name name. No, somebody that,
well,
was,
that was
a man.
She was
a man
married,
but they were, the stars were filled in with rainbow colors, and I thought,
what?
Wow, they're really doubling down on this tattoo. Not only are there stars, but it's rainbow stars.
The last guy that I was hooking up with regularly in Los Angeles before I moved back up here had two star tattoos in his like lower area,
in the front or in the back?
In the front.
Have there been any...
And I thought, most would think this is a little trashy, but I think it's a little hot.
Okay. Have there been any tattoos that you have found mid-hookup and thought, oh, this can't be. This can't be something that's happening right now.
I mean, I once was hooking up with this guy who had like a little letter K on his like torso that I found mid-hookup, and I thought, is that for me?
Like he predestined, is that the word?
Preemptively?
Maybe. What's it called?
Premeditated murder?
Sure, yeah, maybe. No, when you will something into existence, he really...
serendipitous?
No. He got the... It's like when
pre-cum?
You... No! It's when you, like, put it out there and then the universe gives it to you.
The secret?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Y'all out there know what I'm talking about. Corey's an idiot. He doesn't know.
I know. I mean, they're all... Oh, I'm an idiot because I can't think of the word that you can't think of.
Thank you.
And that's that on that.
Thank you.
So what about you? Have you ever found any, like, mystery tattoos mid-hookup?
I did find... Somebody had... You know, okay... Tattoos of humans that try really hard to be realistic almost never work out. You know what I'm saying?
You hooked up with someone who had like a child's face on them?
Yes. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
And it was...
Was this child's face?
It was like they redeemed a coupon for the tattoo and the tattoo artist was thinking... Well, you're not paying full price. You're not getting the full look.
Not everyone can go see a line god.
No! so I was doing the deed and I was getting stared back.
Where was this child's face?
Right here, like on the side of their ribs.
Whose child was it?
I don't know if it was like a child. I think it was
like... Was it like afterward you were like, oh, whose child is that?
No, and they're
like, that's my grandmother.
No, I couldn't.
You're all, so what's his name?
No.
Did you kiss the face of the child on the, like a little...
No, as I was like, you know when on Friends when I'm doing like a 2, a 3, a 7, yeah.
Seven.
The face was located maybe on a 4, wherever the 4 might be on the body.
And on a scale from 1 to 10, the face was also a 4.
Right. And the hookup was also a 4. So I, you know, it's 4s across the board.
So knowing you, you went back for more?
4s across the board, went back for 4 more times. 4 on the floor, you know.
And you delivered him a 4x4. Or is that a 2x4? What's the wood all about?
When I hear 4x4, I think of a Jets.
Is that like
pizza.
A pickup truck?
No, I guess.
Ooh, a Jets pizza with 4 corner crust pieces.
Right, that's what I'm talking.
Fuck. Yeah, I recently that used to be a lunch special when I worked at the bank.
I think Jets pizza is one of my favorite pizzas of all time. If you're from the Midwest, you know.
Go Jets.
Can you tell me who the Jets are?
Yeah, they're all New Jersey football team.
Do you prefer the Jets football team? The Jets from, you know, the
I prefer the Jetsons.
Oh, you prefer the Jetsons. Work.
I've never seen any sort of West Side Story, ever.
Well, I don't think you're missing much. It's not for me. I know there's going to be musical theater people out there appalled and you know, upset
well,
about that.
While we're offending musical theater people, let me also tell everyone that I still, to this day, think that that one musical is terrible.
Oh. And you expect me to know what musical you're talking about.
Took me to it.
We're just two idiots that can't know.
What was it? We saw it.
This is going to be an opinion that people will hate for you.
You made me see it, and I thought, well, who fucking cares about anyone in this?
Corey hated Spring Awakening, and I'm going to let him own that.
Awakening. God, I still to this day, I tell people, you know, Spring Awakening was the worst musical I've ever seen. And the second worst one I've ever seen was Hamilton. And I said it.
Wow.
Hamilton was a little sleepy for me.
What are you even talking about?
Imagine writing good songs. That'd wake my ass up.
Well.
Ain't nobody got time for, oh, Peggy.
Oh my God.
The Skylar sisters. So can you believe I have such a controversial opinion?
I think the most controversial thing about you is the way you pronounce
it. Is the way
that.
You say controversial.
I never want that to be in my ear again. Now, before we talk about anything else, we gotta give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is Wix. With Wix, you can create your very own professional website. Just choose a template you love and customize it by adding your own text, images, and videos. With hundreds of intuitive design features, you can tell your story exactly the way you want. Want even more for your website? You can easily start a blog, launch an online store, or create an event. Share everything in a click on social media and drive even more traffic to your site with SEO tools to get found on Google. Wix has all the tools you need to create the exact website you want. You can even make your beautiful website while listening to Psychobabble. Over 140 million people choose Wix to create their websites. Create yours today. Get started now by going to Wix.com. That's Wix.com/Psychobabble to get 10% off. Again, Wix.com/Psychobabble for 10% off. Thank you, Wix, for sponsoring this episode. We love you here at the podcast. Now back to the gossip. Now, before we talk about anything else, we gotta give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is Discover. Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Thank you so much, Discover, for sponsoring this week's episode of the podcast. We love you here at Psychobabble. Now back to the gossip. Did you watch the Billboard Music Awards?
Bitch, I was at your house last night. You know I did not watch them. Well, we were together.
I don't know if you record things. I know you do. I know you have a TV tracker app. I didn't know if that was on your to-do list.
Bitch, listen, I recorded it and I thought, am I going to watch it or am I going to just look up the Billboard article? That's all. The 17 best performances in order or best to worst.
17?
I don't know. There's usually a lot. Perform a lot. My only problem with the Billboard Awards is they always celebrate the biggest songs like a year after they were big, and it's all, here comes Justin Bieber singing fucking Despacito 4 years later.
Well, it's better than Cool for the Summer, Another Summer.
Cool for the Summer, Summer Part 2. I know what you still did last summer.
Still cool and single for the summer.
Another summer alone.
Another summer, another single. It kind of works. That's a play on words. Thank you.
Do you know the Muffin Man?
Shut the fuck up.
No, I was going to say, I saw all these tweets about Mariah Carey's iconic Billboard Music Awards performance, and I thought, who is getting paid to lie? There is no way Mariah Carey delivered. I haven't even seen it. There's no way she delivered an iconic performance at the Billboard Awards. There's no way.
What's the opposite of a butterfly? What is she called?
Caterpillar.
Fans? Oh, I mean, sorry. The opposite of a lamb. What are you? A wolf?
Slaughtered? A wolf. I am a wolf.
Is that what a Mariah hater? Are you? But like, you're not a Mariah hater. You're just kind of realistic.
I'm a Mariah realist.
Thank you.
Literally, like, you're not going to tell me Mariah had an iconic performance.
No.
She didn't. She's not singing. She's not singing, and she's not even moving on stage. The last 900 times I've seen her perform. I love her to death, and I will pay the respect where respect is due, but, like, ain't nobody pulling the wool over this lamb's eyes.
Okay. I do know that she does historically just get moved around by other people.
Yeah. Here I am on a jet ski getting pushed around. Here I am on a chaise lounge getting pushed around. Here I am on a piano. It's got wheels.
Well, speaking of being on a jet ski getting pushed around, somebody called 911. Shorty got something on the dance floor.
That's Sean Kingston.
Yeah, he was on a ski-doo, and he broke his arm or something.
This wasn't recent. This was years ago.
Well, you never know when people are listening. This could be a recap for people who don't know.
It's true. I remember vividly making that joke when I heard about his jet ski accident 20 years ago. I said, "Did somebody call 911?"
I think about that very often, to be honest.
Shorty's fire burning on the dance floor.
Somebody recently asked us to see if we could list all the Duggars, and I thought, we've done that.
Bitch, I was like, I don't know why you always want to talk about the Duggars.
This is the only thing I'll say about the Duggars. People want us to do it. We're not going to do it because we've already done it. If you didn't know we already did it, then clearly you haven't done your research and you need to go back and re-listen to the podcast. Thank you.
And I think it's probably like episode 10. I think it's even named after the Duggars.
The title of the episode is something about the Duggars. So go deep dive.
It's fucking Tyler makes Corey name all the Duggars and it's a whole waste of 3 minutes.
Well, we had to take 3 minutes to do something. thank you.
Well, we could have been talking about Sean Kingston getting shorty getting low.
Speaking of a waste of 3 minutes, so you didn't watch the Taylor Swift performance of the Billboard Music Awards.
No, you
well,
know,
I
we,
sure did.
We have not discussed Taylor Swift's new single or anything.
Well, what is there to say, Corey?
I mean, I was really coming for Nathan the other day when I was trying to tell him that this is not the single.
It's an interesting lead single. Okay, so before we even get to the single, I do have to say. So she was like teasing the era that's coming.
Wait, and the awesome era?
We'll get to that. Please hold. She's teasing this new aesthetic. It's like her whole Instagram
I love the
turned
aesthetic.
Into glitter and hearts and glitter hearts.
Don't you
hearts.
Dare say kaleidoscope. I'll say fuck you.
It's like
this
shades
is,
of pink. It's
this
palm
is pastel.
Trees.
Pastel Easter realness.
It's women in suits that are pastel, and of course there's cats. It's a little bit like, okay.
Bitch,
and then
don't bring Meredith into this.
Is that the name of a cat or a girl
that
in a
cat
suit?
That cat is named after a Grey's Anatomy star.
Who?
Meredith! Oh. What do you mean, who?
Well, I didn't know, and I don't know.
The Meredith Grey.
I don't know.
Maybe, oh my God, maybe someday that cat will be on Grey's Anatomy. That's what I wish into the world.
We're going to get back to Grey's Anatomy because I have somebody that I wanted to bring up about Grey's Anatomy to you, but that's a whole different shenanigan. But I want to talk about Taylor Swift before we get there. So she had all this aesthetic, and I saw somebody do a side-by-side of her aesthetic on Instagram compared
versus
to
Annie Lennox in the 80s?
No. No, no.
Versus Beyonce's Countdown video?
No. Who is that? Not Casey Musgraves. Is it Casey Musgraves' Instagram? I think. Where the side-by-side looked identical of what she was trying to pull.
Listen.
And people are like, oh, she's coming. She's taking. She's trying to come for. Because Casey Musgraves is having a little moment. She's not going to let that happen.
Casey's Musgraves, I just really like to follow her Insta story because she's like, she must just be so stoned posting pretty pictures of butterflies and stuff on her story.
I don't follow.
It's very
Should
what
I?
It's very what Britney Spears does on the main stage, but Casey's smart enough to keep it just to the story.
Well, I haven't followed Britney in a while because it was becoming too much for me.
You have her on mute?
Maybe. So does her microphone. Thank you. So the Taylor Swift song, we hate it, we love it.
I've listened to it twice.
I've listened to it a lot, actually.
I thought, wow, this song just lyrically goes nowhere. My most favorite part, the only thing that interested me was the one of these things is not like the other line, and then it just really like let me down after that. I thought, wow, that sounds like a hook I could get into, and then it just didn't really go anywhere. And yeah. I'm just not here for this. Like, now let's time to spell.
As a lead single, I find it to be, it feels like a in-betwingle. It feels like a random song she would do for a soundtrack for a not so
Trolls
good
movie.
Right. A not so good animated
movie. DreamWorks Shrek 8.
It is that juvenile in lyrics. I find
the
song
epitome
actually
of Shrek 8.
I find the song to be like
Puss in Boots 4
produced in a fun way. I think it sounds good. But if you listen to the lyrics, if you go to A to Z lyrics.com or whatever the hell, you will be just a little bit perplexed. It's like I don't know. Nobody said no. Nobody said, girl, no.
Nobody said, reel it in.
Nobody said, reel it in. Okay. As if we were to compare this to other Taylor Swift lead singles, where does it rank? I mean, is it better or worse than Look What You Made Me Do?
Worse.
Is it better or worse than Tim McGraw?
I don't even think about Tim McGraw.
Better or worse than We Are Never Getting Back Together?
Worse.
I would say it's actually a little bit in the same realm. It's like a fun song, you know what I mean?
Well, I know, but We Are Never Getting Back Together. It also, it's very talky breakdown. It's like you see she's got the method to her madness. It's like, now let's do this and then let me talk at the bridge.
I guess it does make sense.
Let me get
same
to the bridge and then start talking.
It's the same kind of world as Shake It Off, which is another lead single.
I mean, to think about it, it's like, in these kind of cheer, I think she's very big into the, like, what's it like, cheer pop. I feel like Bad Blood was kind of the same way. What's it called? Like, where it's like big chorus. But anyways, it's, I'm like, do something creative. Like, imagine Holla Back Girl or like, something like that. That was just something that, at least in the mainstream, it wasn't super, it felt new. It felt fresh. Like, just take the phrase, there ain't no I in team.
It's not good.
I'm like, that's what you got excited about, is writing a song where you say there ain't no I in team, like the most cliche, like, sports saying ever.
Yeah. Dads probably
still tell their kids every day.
Very uninspired. I'm looking forward to the second single. Hopefully it's great. I am not the biggest Taylor Swift fan or hater. I am neutral, so I take each moment by moment. It's like, if it's good, it's good, and I'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
This one, it's kind of a miss for me.
Listen, I will call out any, like, pop star. I'm not just going to always eat their ass if it's somebody that I enjoy. If it's like a single that's not for me, I think I'm always going to be honest and say that.
Jewels and Drugs wasn't good. I'll admit it.
Thank you. Go off.
Did you see a Jonas brother got married last night?
I thought all those Joe bros were married and that all their wives were in the sucker video.
I think, apparently Joe Jonas wasn't married because he got married in Vegas last night. Or this week or some point. It was
congrats to him, I guess.
It was on Diplo's Instagrams live. This is like a mad lib of a sentence, but yeah. Well,
don't you just love fun?
It's the sanctity of marriage at it again. And I do have to say, compared to Nick Jonas's 10-year marriage with 3,000 ceremonies, that felt like it was just like, okay, another trending topic about this. I am at least appreciative that maybe it's a one and done and we're going to be able to move on.
Some of these publicists really have to milk some things.
Go off.
You know when you just don't have anything to say in a text and you reply like K or LOL?
Is that my go off?
I think that's your go off, but my dad says, oh snap. That's what your go off just reminded me of. My dad texts when he doesn't know what to reply in a text. My dad just says, oh snap. And I can hear it the way he says it.
I guess mine is, I go off as one, or it's like when people say, that's crazy.
That's wild.
When somebody's telling you a story, and you just keep going, nuts. That's wild. That's crazy. I can't.
Oh my God.
She's wild. Are you
kidding? That's wild.
She is not. She didn't.
She is crazy.
Well, you know who is crazy?
You.
Yeah. Now, before we talk about anything else, I gotta give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is Oatly. It's the vegan, plant-based oat milk company originally from Sweden that's now making their oat milk on this side of the Atlantic.
So, the people at Oatly had a really cool and funny idea for this ad, but since their company beliefs include the idea that people don't believe in ads anymore and just want to hear the truth, Oatly has asked you, Tyler, to simply read these unfunny and totally true facts about oat milk.
Okay, number one. Oat milk tastes really good on your cereal or in your coffee. Number two, oat milk uses a lot less water and creates far less greenhouse gases than cow's milk.
Nice. For more totally true facts about oat milk, go to oatly.com. That's OATLY.com.
Thank you, Oatly, for sponsoring this episode. I love you so much. I put you in my coffee. If you want to learn more, go to oatly.com, OATLY.com. Now back to the gossip.
While we still have 8 minutes left, should we talk about the Amazing Race?
Yeah, I guess. What's there to say? We went to where? Vietnam, baby.
I love how every other week you're like, you got nothing to say, but last week you talked for 20 minutes about it, and then the episode was like 40 minutes long.
Well, go off then.
That's crazy.
Okay, what's there to say about Amazing Race? So we went to Vietnam. It was episode what? 3?
Sure was. If you're listening, stop. If you don't want to know, stop listening.
Yeah. You can catch up at any time. I'm sure it's on CBS.com. We have thus far survived episode in Japan, an episode in Laos, where we got U-turned, and now we are making our way to Vietnam, and it was a challenging
adventure,
but we made it nice. Through.
I think it was our first time being in first place at any point during the race so far.
What? At the very beginning of the episode?
Yeah, when we ran out of the airport in Vietnam and we were the first ones in a cab.
Got it. So we made our way to what was first.
It was a little like tea house. You had to find this little like witch doctor.
That was very stressful. I remember we saw Colin and Christy, and we were very thankful that we were there with them because we love Colin and Christy. And at that point in the race, we felt like we could trust them. We felt like we
were working together. We were helping each other whenever possible.
Right. So we were like happy to see them and happy to be the first to get the clue, to be honest.
Yeah. And I was a little disappointed that they've put bonus clips on YouTube. So if you guys are watching the show and you want to see any like extra footage, they've been putting up bonus clips on the Amazing Race YouTube page. But yeah, there was a whole commentary. They asked me for a very long time about why we weren't going to go do the dance challenge for the detour point. And it was a lot of me talking about how bad I was at dancing in Georgia the first time we were on the show. So I was a little sad they didn't put that in the episode. But I get it. It wasn't our redemption moment.
I do feel like who knows if it was intentional or not. But like there were some very serendipitous redemption opportunities. And like whether it's like team fun in Vietnam and can they survive or, you know, things like that. And this maybe the story producers were thinking maybe this will be Tyler and Corey's redemption for a dancing thing. But we looked at each other. We were like, literally, fuck that. We are going and doing anything else.
I was like, I've watched every episode of this entire series. I know how these dance challenges can go for people who don't have the patience or the stamina to like keep going. And I was like, let's try our hand at fishing.
Yeah.
So off we went.
So we get to this restaurant. It's something where you can go and the locals go and you like, it's like this pond and you sit around the pond and you fish literally for your own dinner.
Did it make you think of like Red Lobster? You remember going to Red Lobster as a kid and you could just like pick your lobster right out of the cage?
Is that a thing?
What? Yes, bitch, you ain't never been to Red Lobster?
No, well, I've been to Red Lobster. You know, we went the day my grandma died. Or no,
yes,
the day of her
and
funeral.
Your grandma's favorite waiter was all, where's grandma? And your dad was all, she's dead.
Literally, that's the story. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, we were getting extra of those buttery
Bitch, don't
rolls.
Even get me started on a Cheddar Bay biscuit. It has a
ma'am.
Name. Has a name.
Anyway, so we were there.
So, I was going to say, do you think it's like Red Lobster where you go
maybe it's their
pick
version
your
of Red Lobster.
Yes, you don't, before you get sat at your table, you have to catch your prawn.
Well, when he fuck me good, I take his ass to fish for prawn in Vietnam. So
hot sauce in your bag, swag.
I did bring hot sauce in my bag. Do you remember that? I had a little my little bottle of hot to go hot sauce that I could get through airport security. I brought it with me on the race. It was good.
This is the weirdest lie I've ever heard you told.
What are you talking about? It was in my toiletries bag. What
did
you
steal it
about?
From like the Tokyo hotel?
I don't know
not
where I stole
not
it.
Not the band.
I don't know where I stole it, but I had it and I took it and I brought it. Thank you.
For someone who thinks ketchup's too spicy, I find it hard to believe that you had hot sauce anywhere.
My taste buds have evolved. Anyway.
So there we are, catching prawn, and Tyler, love it.
I was really livid the whole time. I'm really grateful for how they edited it because I was honestly on my last nerve when people were passing us, teams were doing well, we weren't.
And they didn't. I mean, obviously, it's only a like 45-minute show when you factor out commercials, but we were there for hours fishing. I swear it probably took us like 2 hours and we were just there and looking for fish and waiting for prawns and no one was biting shit. And it was a very much like game of patience. We had no idea what place we were in.
Anthony was asking me why we had our fishing poles just sitting there. We were told by the locals, like you put it there, you put a brick on top of your
there was like a brick,
fishing
pole
and you just wait. And so that was people were like, well, why aren't you trying? Why aren't you doing stuff? I'm like, we did what we were supposed to do.
Somebody slid into my DMs on Instagram and was all, y'all need to go where the shrimp was biting. Like, that's why the girls did so well. And I had to be like, listen, bitch, when Corinne and Eliza started catching fish, our asses moved our poles over into their area. We were trying to get the prawns before them, and they were still only biting their poles.
And you cannot see where the prawn are.
It's like a dark, murky, bubbly water. It was like a hot tub.
One thing that we didn't talk about was the peace offering moment. Is there anything to say about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they showed at the beginning of the episode, Becca and Floyd kind of made a peace offering for you turning us, and then the Rileys kind of jumped in to kind of apologize to Becca and Floyd. Again, they didn't show it in the episode, but in one of the bonus clips, they kind of went into a deep interview about, I think, why you and I were so kind of just caught off guard that Becca and Floyd had U-turned us, because they were a team we wanted to work with, and they were a team we had kind of started building an alliance with. And I think actually Becca and Floyd touch on it in the episode, saying the same thing, that we were a team they wanted to work with. So they were kind of put their foot in their mouth and kind of had to do some backtracking as far as apologizing to us about U-turning us.
I will say they really hit the nail on the head with what to give us if they wanted to win me over, because they gave me
they
a bag of
food.
The way
to your heart.
But the way to my heart is through my stomach, and I devoured all the food. But I say, I don't know if I was really like on their side, but I appreciated the effort. I will say that.
Listen, if you're ever on The Amazing Race, anytime someone's giving you free food, you're going to be happy about it, because you eat very little, especially on race days. That's like you're missing all of your meals, because you're just so either at airports saving your money because you might need it for a taxi. So yeah, anytime someone can give you food, it's going to make you happy.
Speaking of getting food that makes us happy, we eventually caught
all of the prawns, and then we were off to the roadblock, which we knew was singing based on the clue, and I had to really bully Tyler into being the singer.
Well, before that even happened, we need to talk about our favorite moment that they didn't include.
Oh my god. When we finally caught the prawn, we were so excited to like run over to the little counter lady so she could check us in, and I don't know. I think it was you or if it was me, one of us ran our fishing pole straight into a ceiling fan, and that shit just started churning up the whole pole. The cord was all wrapped around there. Locals were screaming.
Shit hit the fan moment. Literally. So you saw how many people were in that like huge restaurant. Everyone was screaming. It was like pandemonium. Like the producers were freaking out because I think we were like going to fuck up the everything.
We like broke the restaurant.
We were like, okay, gotta go. Bye. Yeah. The singing challenge, whatever the clue was, we knew it was something to do with singing. And so I thought, okay, or at least it was going to be music something. And I thought, okay, I will do it because I was in choir. It does not mean that I have the vocals, but I think I was a little bit more confident, at least, maybe, in my music skills. So as soon as we decided who was going to do the roadblock, it was going to be me. We saw that it was, in fact, at a karaoke place. Like, the address was something karaoke, and we're like, okay, we were right. I'm going to have to perform. And for challenges like this, where it's, like, performance-based, I think we both learned from the first time we were on the race, like, you really just have to sell it. You can be terrible, but you just have to sell it. And going into that, I was really kind of stressed because the clue made it seem like I thought I was going to get like on a stage and it was going to be an audience and it was going to be like, I don't know. I was really intimidated by the concept.
Yeah, it was not one of the most fun roadblocks that I would ever want to volunteer to do.
Really? I think you would have been fine, honestly.
Singing?
You would have been fine. No, it would.
I mean, I think so. I think I'm good at like memorizing music and lyrics, but I just don't think I'm ever super excited to sing in front of people.
Sure.
Like, I am a great car singer.
Sure.
I am a great shower singer. I am a great kitchen singer when I'm home alone in the morning.
Well, apparently I am a great Vietnamese pop singer because I feel like I nailed it. And honestly,
the most
unlikely of duos kind of came out of that challenge. Me and who was I practicing with? Eliza in the practice room. She was bugging everyone else in the room, but her and I had a good system of trying to learn the lyrics together and just repeating them over and over and over. And I am open to work with whoever if it's beneficial to me. Like,
oh,
yeah,
for
let's,
sure.
let's pair up. Yes, let's work together and figure this out together. It was helpful for me. So like, I don't care. Just because everyone else was getting annoyed by her doesn't mean I have to be getting annoyed by her or like cut her off. So we worked together on that and it was actually really helpful. I got the pass on the first I think on the first try, right?
Yeah, it was on your first try. Everyone else was super jealous because you nailed it.
Thank you.
And I also think we were talking about this last night when the episode actually aired. I mean, I think you touched on it a little bit too. It always helps to like really sell it in the situations. If you're singing karaoke and I'm just sitting on the bench being bored and like want to get out of there, I mean, they're going to take that into factor too when judging. They like want your teammate up and celebrating and cheering and dancing and acting stupid and having the time of your life. So I was like up in the front and center cheering you on.
Yeah, I mean, I can only do so much, and I was stressing out during the whole performance, but Corey was really hyping up the entire crowd, and you could tell they were taking into account the entire room, and
yeah,
if they were feeling it, they were feeling it, yeah.
For sure.
So then what happened? We moved on to what?
We moved on. We ran to the cute little flower market. We checked in. We got a fourth place under our belt.
Wow.
Times are good.
We are back in the top half of the crew?
Yeah, I mean, there were 9 teams, so yeah, we're toward the front of the pack.
And we lived another day. So going into episode 4 with a non-elimination, how many teams remain?
So there's still 9 teams. The team that came in last in episode 3 was not eliminated, which means going into episode 4, there's a lot of pressure because you know somebody's ass is getting eliminated. Because I don't think they've ever done 2 non-eliminations in a row.
The Amazing Race. Anytime there's a non-elimination leg, the very next episode feels very heavy because everyone knows there's no getting out of this. Whatever happens,
right.
You're
there's
fucked.
There's no chance. And I would never recommend racing with the idea in the back of your head, like, maybe it's a non-elim, because that's not the smartest way to race. But yeah, if you know the last episode was a non-elimination, everyone's looking at each other like, fuck, somebody's going home.
Well, who knows what'll happen? If you're listening to this, the day this episode comes out is a Tuesday. Episodes air every Wednesday at 9 on CBS. So find out tomorrow if we live another day.
Yeah, and we're sticking around in Vietnam for another leg. So if you loved the tasks we did in Vietnam for episode 3, we do some more crazy stuff in episode 4.
Well, Corey, where can people find you if they want to follow along?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and say we've been posting like behind the scene pics and extra videos and stuff on Instagram and Twitter, so make sure you're following us there at Corey Cool, KoreyKuhl.
And I am Tyler Oakley, TylerOakley. I have not had a chance to live tweet any episodes yet, so I feel like I need to do that soon. So maybe next week's episode, maybe this one that's tomorrow. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We will be replying to your questions about the race. If you have some behind-the-scenes questions, we always like to give you guys the insight, so let us know what you want to know. But that is all for today. Thank you guys for listening. Corey, have a good life. Good luck. Oh,
thanks, sis.
See you in Vegas for our wedding to be the new Joe Jonas. Who did he get married to, by the way?
Bitch, you think I know this?
Well,
sure don't.
Do you think they're going to have their own honeymoon?
Maybe, probably, I guess. Love is patient, love is kind.
Because we had our honeymoon.
I hear you, bitch. I get you.
Okay, good luck.
I'm your smartest friend. I know everything.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.